I wanted to welcome everyone again to the My Employment Options webinar today on the topic of common benefit questions asked by those on SSDI or SSI in the free federal Ticket to Work program. We are so excited to have you today, and we have an informative presentation lined up to help you with learning tips about the Ticket to Work program from our benefits manager. If you're just joining us, my name is Lori Adler. I am the communications manager here at My Employment Options, or MEO as we call it, and I will be your moderator today. Just a quick technical reminder, if you are just joining in, to view the presentation slides portion or the online portion, just click step number 2 in the instructions email you received, which is the Join Me link. If for some reason you do not have access to the internet today, you can just listen in on the audio. We wanted to take a quick moment for those of you who may not know who we are to explain a little bit about our company and our mission. On a daily basis, My Employment Options, or MEO, is an authorized employment network agency in the free federal Social Security Ticket to Work program. We have been a part of this great program since it began in the early 2000s. We provide free work-at-home and on-site job placement help and other free career services to citizens who receive SSDI or SSI disability who are ages 18 to 64 and who want to try working again. We serve 47 states. We do offer free public webinars like this one, as well as online job fairs to help all job seekers nationwide. So not everyone on the call today may be on SSI or SSDI, and that is okay. Everyone is welcome. On the next slide, you will see our agenda today, and we will cover several important topics related to common benefit questions asked by those on SSDI or SSI. The topics include who qualifies for the free Ticket to Work program, what is the difference between SSDI and SSI, there's sometimes confusion on that, the rules for working while on SSDI or SSI, common questions and myths, how do I report earnings, stages of the program, and much more. And now I would like to introduce our presenter to you today, Teresa Ellinger. Teresa is our benefits manager and is also a certified work incentive counselor, or CPWIC. Teresa has extensive training and knowledge about the Ticket to Work program, and she guides each of our clients through the program so they know exactly what to expect next. She also helps track their benefits and answer benefit-related questions. She has been with MEO for 14 years. Having a benefits counselor on staff is one of the many free services that we offer to our clients on SSDI or SSI. And now we're going to get started with the meat of the presentation. And Teresa, I'll turn the floor over to you.
Thank you, Lori, and welcome everyone. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to be here. Like Lori stated, I have been with Employment Options for 14 years and obtained my certification in 2014 and have to complete 18 credit hours each year to keep my certification. And I'm current on my certification. I hope everyone today takes away a better understanding of the Ticket to Work program. So let's begin. What is the Ticket to Work program? Well, it's a free, voluntary federal program managed and created by Social Security. Helps Social Security beneficiaries return to work and become financially independent. Who qualifies for the Ticket to Work? Individuals who are 18 through 64, who receive Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI, or Supplemental Security Income, SSI, that is non-retirement, and must be currently receiving for their own disability. The ticket program only allows through age 64, but if you're already assigned to an employment network, like Employment Options, you could be part of the program until you reach full retirement age. Now, for full retirement age is no longer age 65, but moving into the age of 66 plus, meaning if you were born between 1955 through 1959, your retirement date will not be on your birthday, but 2 to 10 months later. And then by age born by 1960 and onward, the retirement age moves up to age 67. And if you can make it to age 70, you will see a 32% increase in your retirement amount. Can I return to work while receiving SSDI or SSI? Absolutely. Yes, Social Security is supportive of beneficiaries who want to return to work. The Ticket to Work program and its work incentives can help you enter, re-enter, or stay in the workforce. What is the difference between SSDI and SSI? Even though they're close in name and often their meanings are confused, what is SSDI? It's Social Security Disability Insurance. SSDI pays benefits to you if you are insured, meaning that you have worked long enough and paid into Social Security taxes. Then what is SSI? Supplemental Security Insurance. SSI pays benefits to disabled adults with limited income, resources, and who hasn't paid enough in Social Security taxes. If I use my ticket to go back to work, will Social Security conduct a medical review of my case? If you are in the Ticket to Work program and making timely progress towards employment and or educational goals, Social Security cannot perform what is known as a continuing disability review, or CDR, to see if you still have a disability. Even if you were otherwise be scheduled to have a disability review, Social Security will postpone it while your ticket is in use and you're making timely progress towards your goals. A thing to remember, the rules are different for both, and I will cover each type separately. The rules for SSDI and SSI are very different. So let's begin. How do I report my SSDI earnings to Social Security? Report to your local office or call Social Security's main number at 1-800-772-1213. Remember, always report any changes to your situation or earnings to Social Security at all times. And reporting helps keep you out of overpayment status. Remember, it is the ticket holder's responsibility to report any changes to Social Security. I know during the pandemic, it's difficult to report to your local office. I suggest faxing the information to them. Please include your Social Security number and write Ticket to Work on each page that you fax to them. To find your local fax number, Google SSA Locator, and it will prompt you for your zip code, and we have provided the link above. What information will I report to Social Security? You're going to report the who, the what, and how much. Now, who is the who? That's going to be your employer. When is your start date? How much are wages that include hourly, salary, or 1099? So how much you make per hour. Average number of hours each week. Also provide Social Security with employer identification or tax ID number and report earnings via SSA.gov on my Social Security account. A tip is wait 2 weeks and report the same job again. And then repeat this process until Social Security tells you about the job you are trying to report, or check your My Account to see if the job is listed. If you report the job to Social Security and they record it, this should spark a Social Security letter saying they will be reviewing you in 9 months. This is a review of your trial work period and not a medical review. If you do not receive a letter from Social Security, then I would call and report the job again. What happens to my SSDI once I start working? The first phase is called the trial work period, and there is 9 months in total. These 9 months do not have to run consecutively, but must be within a 60-month period. In order to use a trial work period month in 2021, you must at least grossly earn $940 within a month. If you do not grossly earn $940, then you will not use a trial work period for that month. During this period, you have unlimited, and I stress unlimited, earning capability without it affecting your disability benefits. But please be aware that any federal or state-run program they are means tested and income may and do have an effect on them. These programs include HUD, SNAP, Medicaid, and or extra help. So what happens after I complete my 9-month trial work period? Well, the following month, this phase begins, the second phase. You will enter into the second phase or the safety net provided by the Ticket to Work program called Extended Period of Eligibility, or EPE. This phase lasts at least 36 months and may extend beyond that time. Once your trial work period is over, Social Security will then take a look at your countable gross earnings to determine if they are substantial gainful activity or SGA. For 2021, the gross SGA amount per month is $1,310. And for 2021 blind SGA amount, it is $2,190 per month gross income. Before Social Security would stop your cash benefit, Social Security would need to make an SGA decision. Until this happens, there is no loss in benefits. So if you are above SGA level, then you would expect your cash benefit to stop. But if you're below SGA level, you would experience no change in your benefits. An example of trial work period and extended period of eligibility. Okay, let's say you started working in April of 2019 and you're making about $13 an hour and working part-time. At Employment Options, I would assist you in reporting to Social Security by providing you details on how to report. And if you have any issues, then I would come in and assist you and remind you of the Social Security letters you may receive. Then once your trial work period ends, and in this example, that would be December of 2019, 9 months later, the month following, you would enter into the second phase, or the extended period of eligibility phase, which would begin January of 2020. But your earnings have all been below SGA level. So, including during your trial work period, but you got a promotion and a raise. And now you're working full-time and earning $15 an hour. Congratulations. Earnings go above SGA level for the very first time in June of 2020. Well, what that means is, January through May were below, and you would be eligible for your monthly cash benefit. And there would be no changes in your benefits. But starting in June, since your earnings are above SGA level, Social Security would look at those earnings and would be able to make their SGA determination. For the month of June, SGA decision includes the first month plus two additional months. This means no changes to your benefits for June, July, and August. And these would be Social Security's SGA decision. Beginning in September, that is received in October, would be the first possible month the cash benefit would be suspended. Social Security states the SGA decision is more than just a figure, and this is true. We will take a look at to see if you have any job accommodations like extra breaks and look at any out-of-pocket expenses that are related to your disability. And I will cover these in the next slide. Impairment-related work expenses, or IRWIs, also go into effect the month following your trial work period. And examples of work expenses or IRWIs would be co-pays to a doctor or to a specialist, prescriptions, mental and or physical therapy, transportation if your disability does not allow you to drive, modified vehicle or service pet if prescribed by your doctor, pain management and any over-the-counter items that your doctor has you on that doesn't necessarily need a prescription. All of these will need to be related to your disability and approved by Social Security. IRWIs are deducted the month you pay and not when billed. Also, any approved IRWIs by Social Security will be deducted from your gross earnings. An example would be, let's say you grossly earn $1,360 in June of 2020, but you have IRWIs approved by Social Security for $80. Social Security would then deduct the $80 from the gross countable income, so that's $1,360 minus $80, which leaves your gross countable income as $1,280. Now, SGA level is 1,310, so June would now be below SGA level, and Social Security would not be able to make that SGA determination, or you would experience no change in your benefits. And then the following month, we would have to look at July to see if you qualify to use the grace period or not. Again, these must be related to your disability. If my SSDI cash benefit stops as part of the stages of the ticket to work, and I have to stop working because of my disability, will I have to reapply for benefits all over again? The last phase of the ticket to work will be entered into once you complete both the trial work period and the extended period of eligibility phase. This phase lasts at least 5 years and is called expedited reinstatement, or EXR. You can request that your benefits start again without having to complete a new application. To give you an idea, trial work period and extended period of eligibility in total of at least 3 years and 9 months. So almost for 4 years before you could re-enter into the final phase. Program is quite lean. Will I have to reapply for benefits all over again? These are the conditions. You must meet a few requirements, including still have the original medical condition or one related to it that prevents you from working at or above SGA. Earnings must be below SGA level. You may be able to receive up to 6 provisional or temporary cash benefits in addition to the Medicare or Medicaid coverage, while Social Security conducts a review to determine if benefits can be reinstated. An example would be, and it's lengthy, let's say you entered into the EXR phase August of 2020, which means you would end no earlier than July of 2025 because it's a 5-year period. So let's move ahead to June of 2023, and for reasons related to your disability, you are no longer earning at or above SGA level. This does not mean you must stop working, just be below the SGA level. The very first month this happens, you would get in touch with either your employment network, such as Employment Options, or Social Security to complete the expedited reinstatement form. Currently, that is about 5 forms. The reason you do not wait is there's no backdating, and this is very important because during the EXR phase, there's no cash benefit until you complete the form. Once completed, Social Security will conduct a medical review, and this time they must prove that you're not disabled. During this review, they will start up at least 6 provisional payments. Once they have completed the review and pending their outcome approved, then your current ticket will then be terminated and you would receive a second ticket. During this time, remember, no cash benefit if earnings are at or above SGA level, but once you accumulate 24 months of below SGA level earnings, then the 25th month you would receive a new trial work period. Essentially, the program starts over for you. Over the course of my 14 years at Employment Options, I have helped a few dozen clients complete the EXR process and now working towards a trial work period. Just another safety net of the Ticket to Work program. If I go to work, will I automatically lose my Medicare? No. You will not automatically lose your Medicare if you return to work. Rules for SSDI. If you receive an SSDI cash payment, you will keep your health care insurance. Once you complete the trial work period and Social Security has made their SGA decision and Medicare can continue for at least 93 months. This is individualized and could last much longer for some. When in the second phase or EPE and your monthly cash benefit stops, Medicare should bill you quarterly for Part B and any other plans you may have with them. What happens if your employer provides insurance? I would say compare the plans, and if it makes sense to you, go with your employer insurance, meaning it covers your medical needs and it's cheaper. What would you do? Call 1-800-MEDICARE and let them know you would like to stop Part B and or C or D. You will keep Part A. It's hospital and it's free. Then you may be concerned as to what happens if I no longer qualify for my employer health insurance and need to get back onto Medicare. Here's how you do it. Simply call 1-800-MEDICARE and let them know you need to get back on Part B and any other using special conditions. And Medicare will ask you what month and year you'd like it to start. It does not have to be during open enrollment, but Medicare could add a 10% penalty for letting Medicare go in the first place. In 2021, that would be about $15 for Part B. Here at Employment Options, I would assist you by reviewing with you your options. Just a reminder that the two benefits are different, and I just finished reviewing SSDI, and now I will be moving over to SSI. What happens to my SSI once I start working? SSI is supplemental, so earnings may affect your SSI amount, but not immediately, rather about 3 months down the road. You will need to report your gross monthly earnings each month to Social Security between the 1st and the 6th of the month. Options for reporting is call 866-772-0953 or upload the SSI wage reporting app to your smartphone or Android. Or call your local office and give them that employer identification number and report via My Social Security account on SSA.gov's website. And also, again, you can report via fax. Remember, if you would like to report via My Social Security account, you must provide Social Security with the employer's identification number or tax ID. This can be found by going, Googling it. My account is not always looked at by Social Security offices and has come to be the least reliable source to report to. To report the job is the same as SSDI. You're going to call 1-800-772-1213 or your local Social Security office and report employer name, hourly rate, working hours, start date, and EIN number. Wait about 2 weeks and call and report the same information to Social Security and repeat the process until Social Security can tell you about the job you're trying to report. Again, during the pandemic, I suggest faxing all of your information to Social Security. I do not suggest mailing at this time, as it's a delayed process. What happens to my SSI once I start working? An example of what and when to report. The what is the previous month gross countable income. The when is the current month you will call the 1-800 number, use the wage app, add to my Social Security account, or fax information to your local office. Gross monthly earnings are whatever was paid to you within the previous month, but less holiday and paid time off. Yes, bonuses do count. Choose the method you would like to use and report each month. This should ensure that you do not get into overpayment status. Remember, always let Social Security know of any changes to your situation, be it an address, an increase, decrease in hours or pay. It is the ticket holder's responsibility to report any and all changes to their local Social Security office. At Employment Options, we will assist you. What happens to my SSI once I start working? What to report when calling? Earnings in June, you would report in July, remember between the 1st and the 6th, and it gets deducted in September. An example would be earnings received in June would be reported in July between the 1st. Okay, I just said that. Report. Tip, report to Social Security anytime you have earnings and remember it is your responsibility. SSI ticket holders do have some exclusions, like participating in a PASS plan, student income exclusions, ERWE. I find most SSI clients do not have ERWEs unless their disability is blindness. And then there are a whole lot of ERWEs that aren't just out-of-pocket medical expenses. Examples would be taxes from a W-2 job, computer software or applications that are needed to work. So what does all of this mean? A PASS plan is a plan that you set up with an approved agency. It is designed for you to put money aside for an item that you need. And this money is deducted and could make your SSI cash payment higher. An example would be you need a computer. You can put $100 away each month towards a six-month goal, and that $100 would be deducted from your gross earnings, resulting in a higher SSI cash benefit amount. Working while receiving SSI benefits helps get you closer to SSDI. It allows you to earn up to 4 work credits per year. A positive for everyone would be an increase in their disability amount just by working and earning more money. If you would want to know how many work credits you have or still need, simply call your local Social Security office. For those on SSI, working can benefit you. Good news, we have had several SSI clients who earned enough work credits and moved into receiving SSDI benefits. And when receiving SSDI and working, it opens up even more work incentives and safety nets within the program. For an example, you get the 9-month trial work period to test the waters of working and see how you do. If I go to work, will I automatically lose my Medicaid? After you return to work, your Medicaid coverage can continue if you keep just $1 of your SSI benefit. To be eligible for Medicaid, if your SSI goes to zero, extended Medicaid coverage, or 1619B, will automatically start. You must live in a 1619B state, and earnings must be below a certain threshold amount set by your state. An example, in 2021, the threshold amount for a 1619B SSI beneficiary is as much as $31,451 in Alabama to $53,709 in Connecticut annually. If any employment option ticket holders would like to speak with me, please reach out to your job counselor specialist for my appointment link. I know this is a lot of terms and may be brand new to some of you. A benefit to assigning your ticket to employment options, I provide you with benefit counseling and will reach out to you if I suspect any upcoming changes to your benefits. But you must follow the program guidelines. Things to remember, My Employment Options, or MEO, is a great employment network. They assist several hundred clients per year in returning to work, and I am here to guide them through the program. Even though we offer many free services, having a CWEEC on staff is beneficial to us and our clients. I assist with Social Security letters, forms, and reporting to Social Security. I go over the program and individualize it for each client. I help set a financial goal to assist a client to reach self-sufficiency. And back to you, Lori.
Thank you, Teresa, so much for all those tips and guidelines and important terms about the Ticket to Work program. It is a lot of information, but as you mentioned, assigning your ticket to employment options, we help our clients and guide them through the program, and Teresa goes over the terms and things like that. In a few minutes, Teresa will also cover some of the great questions that some of you submitted to us, so stay tuned for that. We're not finished. For anyone on SSDI or SSI who may be on the call today, or maybe you know someone who is, you may be wondering what we offer to our clients in the Ticket to Work program. We have over 20 years of expertise in helping people with disabilities and other challenges return to work, as Teresa mentioned. We have long-standing employer partnerships, including many work-from-home employers, and we specialize in work-at-home jobs, actually. Each client receives their own personal job counselor here who helps them one-on-one with things like resumes and interviews, finding suitable job leads, career advancement options, moral support, and more. And as Teresa mentioned, clients receive guidance from her and throughout the program to guide them every step of the way. And many staff, including myself, are Ticket to Work participants, so we are able to practice the personal touch because we can relate to our clients in a unique way. Our next slide shows you how to apply with us online if you receive SSDI or SSI or know someone who does. If you are a job seeker on SSDI, you can go to our website anytime at myemploymentoptions.com and click Apply Now on the homepage, or you can click Apply Now at the top of our site and fill out our application. We have one application for all of our jobs and services, and after you do that, our staff will give you a call. As mentioned, we know that some of you on the call may not be on SSDI or SSI, or for some reason may not qualify for our free services and jobs in Ticket to Work, but we are still glad you're here. This slide has other ways to get resources from us. First, you can email us at help@myemploymentoptions.com for an auto-reply email of job resources. And you can also visit our referral resources page on our website. It's under the FAQ section at the top or via the link here on the slide. If you happen to have additional questions about the webinar or what MEO does, feel free to email me at the email shown on the slide here, and I will ensure your question gets answered by one of our staff or Teresa. And if we have any current My Employment Options clients on the call who have their Ticket to Work already assigned, you can reach out to your personal job counselor with any questions related to the webinar or employment or benefits, and they can get, like Teresa said, in touch with her. On the next slide, we wanted to let you know about some other resources and books tips that may be helpful in your own job search, or maybe you work with job seekers. Our CEO, Paula Vieira, pictured here, has multiple workbooks she has written over the years. We use them with each new client who comes on board to help with their strengths, identifying goals, etc. To review her resources, you can visit our website. Just hover over the FAQ section at the top, and you can order them from there, or you can even ask for their book, her books, at your local library, and you can also click the link on the slide. We would love to connect with you, of course, on social media. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and Instagram. We try to post helpful articles, hot jobs, industry tips, videos, our event announcements, and more. And also, I wanted to mention, in about 7 to 10 business days, you can watch for a follow-up email from us that will include a copy of the presentation today and the audio file, so you can review it, and you will be able to click on all the links that you've seen during the presentation when you get that email. And now, like we mentioned, we're going to cover a couple questions that some of you submitted on your registration form. And Teresa is going to go over those for us now.
Question number one, what are the differences between SSI and SSDI? Is it easy to determine which is which on the Social Security determination letter? And this question comes from Anne from Minnesota. Great question, but not as simple as it may seem. SSI work affects your monthly cash benefit, but about 3 months down the road. But if you live in a 1619B state, your entire SSI benefit goes away. You would still have your Medicaid coverage when in 1619B. You must use it at least once a year. SSDI benefits are not affected right away, since you have a 9-month trial work period to test the waters of working. It is not until you move into the second phase could SSDI cash benefit get suspended. The determination letter will let you know when your Medicare will begin if you are receiving Medicare. If you're receiving Medicare, you've got some form of SSDI. If you're Medicaid only, then your SSI. Question number two, what are the options when one approaches 65? This question comes from Angela from Illinois. I find that most people believe 65 is the retirement age, but no longer true. Remember, FRA, or full retirement age, is now 66 plus. If you were born between 1954 and 1959, and anyone born in 1960 or later, full retirement age would be 67. If 65 or older, it would be too late to sign up for the Ticket to Work program, but the rules would still apply if you wanted to give work a try. Full retirement age has no income limits, but early retirement does. So visit our website at My Employment Options before your 65th birthday and click on Apply Now. Question number three. I have been reinstated to Social Security disability due to my disability and have been offered a job that is hard to refuse. I am wondering how this will affect me as I just was approved to be reinstated for SSDI. Question number three comes from Mary of Wisconsin. In order to complete the EXR process and receive that trial work period to go along with the new ticket, you must accumulate 24 months of below the program level. There's nowhere that states it must be within a certain period. I say accept the job, and if you have to leave due to your disability, your 24 months that are needed will start again if you are working at or above the program level. So an example would be, let's say you completed the EXR process in October of 2020, approved and received a letter stating you have a new ticket. Then you accept this hard-to-refuse job, and you set to start March 1st, and it pays really well. You have accumulated 5 of the 24 months that are needed to complete the EXR process. You're working, and then you had to reduce your hours to go below the program level, or your job ends. It doesn't matter which one. As of June of 2022. So June would be the 6th EXR month out of the 24 months. I hope that answers your question. And back to you, Lori. Okay.
Thank you. Those were some great questions. We had a lot of great questions, and we covered those, a lot of them, during the webinar. And that does conclude our webinar today. We do appreciate you joining us and taking time out of your day. We hope the information was helpful. We know the Ticks to Work program has a lot of moving parts, and that's where we come in. If you are on SSDI or SSI, please visit our website at myemploymentoptions.com and apply with us. Click apply now or give us a call if you have questions at 800-441-3114. We'll be happy to speak with you and guide you. Again, everyone will receive a follow-up email who registered within about 7 to 10 days. We just need some time to make the podcast. We'll get that to you, and you'll be able to review the slides, click on the links, and we hope that is helpful. And again, thank you for attending our webinar today, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye-bye.